From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Every entrepreneur wants a loyal fan base. That's the dream, really. This passionate group of people who will keep coming back, who will follow you on social media, who will tell their friends about you, who might even get your logo tattooed on their body. That's not happening with your business, the tattoo thing? Because it's happening with Will Dean's business.
20,000 people have had the logo tattooed on them. There aren't many brands that could say that.
Will is the founder and CEO of the fitness company Tough Mudder. And we'll be exploring his story today because Will successfully built that fan base, a fan base so strong that they are taking it to the tattoo parlor. But Will has discovered the challenge of having a fan base that strong, because here's the thing about superfans, they love you exactly the way you are. They do not want you to change. And that's not very helpful for a business because every business does need to change. It needs to expand, to experiment, to find new ways to reach people. And those efforts tend to upset the logo tattooers of the world. Just think about how, say, longtime Twitter users get upset when the company tries to make tweeting easier to understand. And much like Twitter, Will at Tough Mudder realized early that his super passionate fan base was not going to be enough to sustain his company. And by the way, if you're not familiar with Tough Mudder, here's a little primer. The heart of the company is its obstacle course races. These insane, muddy, grueling, military-style obstacle courses. And when the company started, Will had envisioned Tough Mudder as a growing, dynamic company. But he quickly realized that he was only reaching a slice of that potential audience.
We were getting lots of men in their 20s and 30s that were already in shape doing our events. And that was great, but that isn't most people, and most businesses aspire to grow.
But again, they were passionate, really passionate. Tough Mudder had created a challenge these young men were proud to have accomplished. Tough Mudder was theirs. It was their conquest. But to grow, Tough Mudder would have to become other people's conquests too. And Will wanted to make that change, while somehow also not turning off his core fan base.
But what I didn't want to be seen to be doing was somehow diluting the brand. We have a hyper-engaged community, and I knew there was always a risk. Some people might say, oh, this, you know, Tough Mudder's selling out or something.
Today, he's done that. Tough Mudder now hosts a wide range of events, and globally, 500,000 people participate in them annually. The company is also about to expand rapidly into gyms. And the Tough Mudder main event, the one that used to attract almost entirely men in their 20s and 30s, it has now achieved a male-female ratio of 60-40. So how did Will do it? Expanding his business without losing that fan base that it was built upon? We'll get right into it after the break. My wife and I recently got a book deal. So yay, exciting. But then the contract came and I needed to print 4 copies of the last page and have us both sign them and then mail it to our agent. And we don't have a printer at home and the nearest mailbox is 4 blocks away. And seriously, this whole thing took a week. I just kept thinking, there has got to be a better way to do this. And there is. SignEasy is an easy-to-use, simple, and legal way to digitally sign documents. You can sign them yourself from anywhere and on any device, or send documents to customers, partners, or colleagues for signing, and even track the progress of documents and get notified when one is signed. Or, let's face it, if you were my agent wondering, where is this contract already? You could have used SignEasy to send me a reminder. Please, 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 let us all agree to stop fussing with documents you have to print and sign and put in a mailbox. SignEasy is faster, easier, and safer. To get started for free, go to getsigneasy.com/podcast. Again, that's getsigneasy.com/podcast. And now onto our second sponsor. I was about to start recording this spot here for our new sponsor, ProsperWorks, but I wanted to know what someone who's used many CRMs thinks, because that's what ProsperWorks makes, a CRM. So I walked over to one of our sales guys, Jim, and I said, Jim, tell me what comes to mind when you hear the words CRM. And Jim sighs, and he says, they are so tedious. And to this, ProsperWorks says, we totally agree. ProsperWorks is a CRM company that knows CRMs are notoriously complicated and inefficient, but its software is the opposite. By integrating with tools you're already using and eliminating repetitive tasks with automation, ProsperWorks makes a beautiful, easy-to-use system that drives productivity to help you and your team sell more faster. Try ProsperWorks today for free using our link prosperworks.com/loveyourCRM. Again, prosperworks.com/loveyourCRM. Okay, let's get back to the story. All right, we're back. So before we get into how Will solved his fan base problem, let's talk about how he built that fan base in the first place. Will didn't start as an entrepreneur. He started actually by spending 5 years working in counterterrorism in the UK. And I know this isn't especially relevant to our story here, but I know you're all thinking what I'm thinking, which is, what's it like working in counterterrorism? Is it all Jack Bauer style killing terrorists with fire axes and ripping their bellies open to retrieve computer chips?
You spend a lot of your time working in close teams. I spent quite a lot of time trying to understand, amongst other things, money flows and what that meant and how, you know, terrorists do that kind of stuff. So really fun. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's a government bureaucratic job and you're part of a big machine. And ultimately, I kind of concluded that wasn't the place I wanted to be long term.
Oh, man, zero killing terrorists with fire axes there. But in entrepreneurism, nothing is wasted. Every experience, even if it doesn't ultimately lead you to your goal, does arm you with some insight that'll help you along the way. And in Will's case, that was the sense of togetherness that counterterrorism created.
That's all about team, not leaving people behind, working together to achieve collective goals.
And it got him thinking about how people would love a race that was less about racing and more about teamwork and camaraderie. He went to Harvard Business School and co-founded Tough Mudder in 2010. It began by hosting that single obstacle course. 20 obstacles spread across 10 miles. And those obstacles, by the way, involve climbing over walls and swinging across objects and going through tunnels. And, I can't really do the thing justice. So here's just a bit of a Tough Mudder promotional video naming some of its new obstacles, which will give you a feel for it.
Get ready to tackle Carr, Augustus Gloop, and Snot Rocket. Funky Monkey the Revolution, Stage 5 Clinger and the Reach Around, Arctic Enema the Rebirth, and the Black Hole.
Arctic Enema the Rebirth. Not a phrase I thought would ever show up in this podcast. That, by the way, is an industrial-sized dumpster filled with ice-cold water and ice cubes topped with a barbed wire wooden divider that race participants must swim under. And who, you might wonder, wants to submit themselves to this?
We were hoping for 500 people at our first event. We got 5,000.
So yeah, people were into it. Tough Mudder hosts two more events in 2010, then 14 in 2011, and 35 events in 2012, including ones in the UK and Australia. And through all of this, Tough Mudder is working out its systems. How to basically build, warehouse, and travel with all these obstacles, find fields outside of major cities where they can set up and dismantle the whole thing, and this is great growth. Will's very happy about it. He's getting letters from race participants about how it's changing their lives, and a real Tough Mudder community is forming online. But here's also where Will starts to see the problem. His audience is almost all young men, and that's just not scalable. If he wants Tough Mudder to be a massive company, he's going to need to figure out ways to get more people involved. And the first solution would seem obvious. Will needs to make an easier race, something that's just less intimidating and more approachable. And so he decides Tough Mudder should host a half race, kind of like how people do half marathons. Half Mudder. Less intimidating, more approachable. And yet, that is not the first thing that he does.
The first thing we did was create World's Toughest Mudder, which is a 24-hour non-stop Tough Mudder. You do as many laps as you can of a Tough Mudder course in 24 hours. And the people that win that event go over 100 miles.
That's not less intimidating and more approachable. That's the opposite. But Will was being strategic here. If Tough Mudder's second product was a lighter version of its race, the hardcore fans might think that they've already been to the top of the mountain. Oh, they might say, this thing was great at the start, but now they're just going to water it down and wah-wah. So by launching this insane 24-hour race first, Tough Mudder was, as the politicians might say, throwing red meat at its base. Now there could be no doubt. Tough Mudder was committed to being tough. And then, once they got that off the ground, Tough Mudder prepared to actually launch that half race. And in preparation, Will brought his team together to review an old Harvard Business School case study. This is something he does every 3 months, actually. He calls it Tough Mudder University. But in advance of the half race launch, he in particular wanted to dig into what happened when Porsche, the luxury car maker, launched an SUV called the Cayenne in 2003. Porsche was trying to attract newcomers to the brand, but longtime Porsche owners were really upset. The way they saw it, Porsche stood for speed and luxury and, frankly, masculinity, and the doors of their exclusive club were now being flung open to a lesser breed of driver like soccer moms. Some Porsche drivers were refusing to extend the fraternal Porsche wave or headlight flicking to these new drivers, which until recently I did not know was a thing. But there you go. Porsche got through it, though. A recent Edmunds.com piece about the Cayenne said, quote, "To say the Porsche Cayenne has been a success would be a massive understatement," end quote. The Cayenne brought new kinds of drivers into Porsche's orbit, and the boost in sales allowed Porsche to reinvest in the development of its sports cars, which made that line even more appealing. And all of this was really instructive for Will.
Now, for me, you know, it was ultimately a success, but they had to, you know, there were a couple of things. First of all, you know, you have to make sure you position it correctly. Secondly, you have to accept there will be a small and very vocal minority at the very start. And, but for me, the biggest conclusion was at the end of the day, a Porsche 911 is still a Porsche 911, and a Tough Mudder Full is still a Tough Mudder Full.
I don't actually know that much about cars, so I asked him to elaborate on that.
Your achievement having done a Tough Mudder Full is still your achievement of doing a Tough Mudder Full. And the fact that other people do a Tough Mudder Half, if anything, enforces, you know, what a Tough Mudder Full is, because there are lots of people doing an event that is a bit easier and very proud of themselves. So if anything, it puts the Tough Mudder Full on something of a pedestal.
Tough Mudder launched the half race 2 years ago. They did 9 half races in 2016, and in 2017, for the first time, they did the full calendar year. Now, every Tough Mudder full also has a Tough Mudder half, and that has led to 100,000 people doing a Tough Mudder half. Interestingly, the gender split on participants is about 60-40 women, and Will is hoping and estimating that about half of Tough Mudder half participants will, within 2 years, do a Tough Mudder full. And that would mean that the Tough Mudder Half isn't just some separate event for a separate group of people. It's actually a feeder event that supports the whole enterprise. And as Will saw the success of both these new events, the World's Toughest Mudder and the Half Mudder, he saw opportunity to keep expanding out on both sides for events that are easier and events that are harder than that first original race. Because they all bring in new people. And if a new racer loves the experience at one level, they're likely to try another level too.
And, you know, we now have a full progression. So we now actually have 7 events in total. So we have the 5K, which is the entry-level product, then the half, the full, the tougher, which is a race version of a regular Tough Mudder, the toughest, which is an 8-hour overnight event, and then World's Toughest, which is a 24-hour non-stop event. So we have this whole suite of events. It's kind of almost like some sort of grade school to college progression.
So, problem solved? Not yet. Because Tough Mudder still had a couple red flags. One was coming from the legal department.
We had our lawyers internally sending out 400 cease and desists a month to various personal trainers across the US that were running official Tough Mudder training programs, and for brand and IP reasons, we couldn't allow that. But frustrating, because we were killing our own ecosystem.
So let's just break that down. Gyms and personal trainers were claiming to be running official Tough Mudder training programs, which of course wasn't true. But they probably thought they could get away with it because there was no official training program. Tough Mudder was running events, not gyms. And red flag number 2, which was related, was this.
Up to 15% of people that buy tickets for our event fail to follow their training programs and don't show up to the event. That bums them out, and frankly, it bums us out.
So, Tough Mudder had all these fans who want to train together, which is being proven out by the number of gyms calling themselves official Tough Mudder trainers. And then Tough Mudder has all of these potential fans who try to train on their own, lose motivation or get sidelined or whatever, and never show up to the race. And Will looks at this and he thinks, this is an opportunity to continue what he started with the half race. Basically, keep going on the on-ramp, keep building all the way down to the ground level so that Tough Mudder can train and encourage and toughen people up every step of the way, literally from the moment that they walk into a gym, which means Tough Mudder needs to start developing gyms.
So about 2 years ago, in secret, here in our offices in Brooklyn, we built a prototype gym. And we had this hypothesis that we could take the Tough Mudder values of teamwork and community and not taking yourself too seriously, having fun, and work that into a gym environment. Because one of the things we saw is the people that were failing to hit their training goals were generally training on their own, generally training in big box gyms and not setting themselves benchmarks along the way.
Tough Mudder occupies two floors of a big office tower in Brooklyn, and there's a lot of spare room up on the higher floor. So they built out this prototype space and just started inviting what they call legionnaires, which are people who have completed more than one Tough Mudder. The people would show up, sign a non-disclosure agreement, hand over their cell phone so no photos could be taken, and then be run through a class. And over a year, Tough Mudder ran 700 classes like this, always tweaking and learning and changing as they went. Some classes were too tough and people puked, but Tough Mudder would just adjust.
I don't know of any other gym concept that's launched in that way, where you run it in secret for the best part of a year. And the inspiration for this was the Steve Jobs book and the way he prototyped the Apple Store. You know, Apple created the Apple Store to create this new brand touch point, but it was going to be a very, very different retail experience. They built a prototype in secret in a warehouse, and essentially we did the exact same thing.
Will and his team took me up to see the gym. And at this point, all the prototype materials are gone, and it's really a full-fledged gym space.
We have all of that here already, but here is, we're testing, we're basically doing R&D. This is our innovation kitchen where we do all of the workouts. So we run them in the evening, we do them for our employees and other employees in the building.
It's very different from any gym I've seen. It isn't full of equipment where people just come and go. It's run like a class, like a fitness class. But unlike most fitness classes, where there's an instructor running a group of people through the same thing at the same time, the Tough Mudder classes are broken up into small groups. There are TVs around the room, so each group is stationed at a TV, and then the TV shows them how to do whatever exercises at that station, whether it's box jumps or bodyweight exercises or what have you. And then each group rotates to the next station at the same time. The coach who's there is really there to keep everyone on pace and motivated and make sure they're doing all the moves correctly, but the coach isn't actually responsible for running people through everything. It's set up this way in part because Tough Mudder plans to franchise these gyms. Its goal was to open 10 in 2017 and 100 in 2018, and they wanted to make sure the gyms would function well regardless of how good the local coach is. In fact, this is probably my favorite detail of this entire story. While they were developing the classes, Tough Mudder would occasionally hire coaches they knew were bad. Like, they interviewed the coach and thought, yep, this person sucks at their job, and then they'd put them in charge of the Tough Mudder class just to see if the class would still function well. And Will says it worked. And with this in place, Will hopes the gyms will become places where Tough Mudder participants have a place to go, to be a community, and where, of course, newbies will also be able to find their way in.
No, I think it's probably too early to say we have an expectation. We have a hope that people will come, they'll try the boot camp, that the trainer will say, hey, we're all putting a team together, we're all going and doing one of the events this summer, there's going to be a bus, we're all going out to it, we'll all make team t-shirts, we'll all come back, we'll all go for dinner and drinks that evening, it'll be a fun day out. And if you train with a goal in mind, it is proven that you're far more likely to achieve your fitness goals when you have something to focus your attention on. For example, like doing a Tough Mudder.
So, to our question, how do you expand without upsetting your hardcore fans? First, you have to accept that some hardcore fans are going to be impossible to please. But if you take the broad group seriously, if you show them that you are with them, and if they see that what's good for your brand is good for them too, then you'll have your opening to draw in new people. Remember that insane 24-hour World's Toughest Mudder thing that Will launched at the beginning of all this? Funny thing about that race, when they first launched it a few years ago, 1,000 people participated. In 2017, 2,000 people participated. It would seem that by building products for newbies, Tough Mudder made even more hardcore fans. And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week, so to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at HeyPfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.